Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the latest headlines from the Geico Update Center.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Brian Flores said earlier today before training camp that Ryan Fitzpatrick has taken the lead in the QB battle thus far.
You can't. Like, you can't multitask. So I saw Twan Russell was calling in. Why did you decide to answer the phone and talk to him right as your update was starting?
I didn't want to leave Twan on hold, you know, with no explanation as to why he's hearing an update. Just really quickly went to him. It was only like 6-7 seconds.
So you thought it would be better to inconvenience the 50,000 listeners with silence rather than the one Twan Russell.
This is live radio. Things happen.
No, it's just a bad choice by you. That's literally just a bad choice. You have had 3 hours of bad choices today.
Do I run to the wall or continue the update?
I'd like you to end the update, to be quite honest. I'd like to get to Twan Russell.
Parents' phone number.
Can you just end the update?
Okay, the Marlins play tonight at 7:10.
That's not ending the update!
Over just to say Twan next.
Twan next.
Amazing.
Come on. Yeah.
I love Alejandro Solana. He is handpicked by us. He's had one of the worst shows I've ever seen a producer have in radio.
Have some down games, you know?
This was a down game.
Down games.
Crazy.
Twan never had down games.
I don't know.
That's Twan damn Russell.
Let's go to
That's what they called him, Twan damn
Russell. It's the Funky Buddha happy hour, by the way. Take the Twan Russell interview off, Solana, and go get yourself a Funky Buddha brew.
It'll make you feel better.
Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Miami Dolphins youth programs ambassador and a Dolphins alum and a Hurricane alum and a friend of the program, Twan Russell. Do you believe in the tough love that I give Solana, or you think I should do all that off the air?
No, I believe in the tough love. In fact, I think Solana needs to, you know, what Coach Flores says, it takes no talent. He needs to run to the wall.
Well, we have one. I'm glad you brought that up. We installed one here. Solana, Twan said it himself.
Thanks, Twan.
There he goes. He's going to go hit the TNT wall. We've got it. We've got it here just for moments like that. You've told us stories about your youth as well. Sometimes tough love is what it takes.
Absolutely.
Twan Russell. Now, this is the best time of year, right, when college and pro football are ramping up?
Absolutely, because it gives me something to do. I mean, I think I don't really watch television. I watch sports. So when my Canes are going and my Dolphins are going, I am all in on football. And it's probably the most exciting time of the year for me. And we started up on Monday with high school football, so that was exciting. And we're in our second day. So I'm just excited about football.
Are you going up to Orlando to see our Canes take on Crowder's Gators?
I am not. I'm not going to go up because we have a game that Friday night, and it'd be too difficult for me to go up. I do make some sacrifices, so I can't follow my Canes everywhere. But I already know what the result's going to be, though.
Twan, you know, we play on that Friday as well, Twan, but I'm hitting that road by 5 a.m., bro.
I love the kids, though. I got a rule in my life. I really do. I got a rule in my life. I don't mind adults and everything else being disrupted, but you can't disrupt a child's life. So for me, we got meetings that Saturday morning. I need to be there. My goal is to make sure I'm there, even though I want to be in Orlando. And, you know, I'm going to find a spot to sit down and have me a nice cold iced Coca-Cola. You know, I held on to that. Y'all didn't know where I was going.
I was surprised. I was actually surprised. I didn't see the twist there coming. But the truth is, Twan, I mean, we've seen one Canes kicking the Gators' ass beat down. I mean, we've seen a dozen of them. So no need to travel all the way to Orlando to see this one.
I'm going to watch it, though.
Yep.
I'm going to watch it.
And it's going to be a beatdown. Now, here, I'm always amazed by the amount of work that you and the Miami Dolphins do in the community. So, this Saturday, the Miami Dolphins host its 7th annual High School Media Day at Hard Rock Stadium. So, what is that? What is that all about?
It started 7 years ago, and it really was birthed out of having one central place that all the media outlets and bloggers in South Florida can come to and capture all the stories. Because at the time, they, you know, Sun Sentinel had their thing, the Herald had their thing, everyone was kind of dispersed, and they would always complain, I wish we had one place. So we created this event, and Mr. Garfinkel has allowed us to continue it over the 7 years. As well as Jason Jenkins, and really it's like a ACC or SEC media day. I mean, last year we had over 1500 athletes come out. We have it the same day as our scrimmage, so they get to come to the scrimmage. They'll go and watch the game. We also have a service project, so when they come, they'll be able to serve needy people. So they're going to be boxing food and providing meals for underprivileged families. And we really try to make it an entire day, because we want them to leave there and say, hey, I was able to serve someone and help them. I was able to learn about how to talk to the media. We're going to have media training where they're going to sit down, and we're going to have a video that talks about the do's and don'ts of talking in front of the media. Then they'll go and do a press conference, a team press conference, and then we'll have select athletes that we break out, and they'll do like individual one-on-one interviews with all the major outlets and bloggers and television stations throughout South Florida. And it's a really cool event. When the kids leave there, they leave on cloud nine, because now they get to tell their story. And every high school football coach that walks in, you know, at that moment they're undefeated. So they're high on life. They're explaining their narrative. They're saying, hey, this is how we're going to win, and this is what we're going to do. And it's always an exciting day, because those media outlets get to capture all that information. And now they have something to kind of start on throughout the season. They can build on some of the narrative that they begin to create from this event. And it's a really cool event. It's a fun event. It's a really exciting event. The kids are going to come out and have a great time.
And Twan, with your and people, you're a high school coach. We both are, and that's on the field stuff. But then with the Junior Dolphins, it's on the field. But now with this High School Media Day, Twan, I was reading about it. I haven't been to the High School Media Day yet, but the off the field stuff, being part of the community, working with the kids like you two, like you do with the Twan Russell Foundation. Like, what do you think the weakest area of 13 to 18 year old kids are right now, off the field, and have nothing to do with football, just in life? What do you think the weakest area is that a parent should concentrate on?
That 6 ounce thing that they keep in their pockets called the phone. Like, that is literally the one thing that derails a lot of these young men and women when you talk about making the right decisions. They want to get on social media and be first, and they forget to think. And a lot of times, if you just think about what you're going to say, you can tell a great narrative about yourself, but they're so off, they're so quick wanting to be first or tell everybody what's going on, they make mistakes. And really in the media, you know, one of the things I learned at University of Miami, I don't know if they did that at Florida. We actually trained our guys early when they first got there. Did they do that at Florida?
No. They were preparing us to go to the league.
I was going to say, oh, wow.
We were football vocational program.
Go. Here we go. We got action.
Get
out of here with that.
They went to Florida and was supposed to go to the league and never made it. So that's a whole other story. But I remember them saying that, you know, you control the narrative. You can be asked any question that you want. But if you're not sure what to say, pause, repeat the question back, you know, and then go into your narrative and say what you want to say. But so often people want to rush into an answer. And a lot of times you just need to gather yourself while you're repeating the question. You'd be surprised how the brain wakes up and is able to answer the question in a way that will honor you and what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, it's funny because Crowder asked you that question. You had that answer locked and loaded. You've obviously, like, you've given that thought before. You really do believe that social media is probably the folly for a lot of people, right?
But for grown-ups, too.
For grown-ups, too.
Grown people act silly on social media.
Channing, if social media was around when we was in college, it would be I think I would pray that I would make better decisions. But if social media was around, like, a lot of these people that we love and, you know, we talk about every day, I don't know if they're the person that they are today, because maybe they made a mistake when they were 18 years old. And social media, we are destroying young people for decisions that they make when they're 18 years old. We're so forgiving when it comes to that phone. And I would hope that I would make the right decisions, but that's tough, man. You have access to the world in your phone, and you can tweet it out, and it's going to follow you for the rest of your life. If every decision I made when I was 14 to 18 years old stayed with me for the rest of my life, I would be embarrassed, probably, one. And these young people just need to realize that you're living your life in front of the world, and then you're giving them access to it. And unfortunately, sometimes they're giving them the worst part of who they are, you know, trying to be cool or trying to be funny, and it gets taken out of context or taken the wrong way. And all of a sudden, you know, they have a great opportunity, like on draft day, and a tweet or something that they had when they were 14 years old gets brought across the screen, and all of a sudden they go from 1 to 15 or 15 to undrafted. And that's a tough decision that these 14, 15, 18 year old kids have to make every day.
Yeah, so true. Tuan Russell, former Cane, former Dolphin, and they've got a great event coming up this Saturday. The Dolphins host their 7th annual high school media day at Hard Rock Stadium. And Tuan Russell, he's the Miami Dolphins youth programs ambassador. And then the Junior Dolphins practice visit. So the Dolphins, what, they host high school and youth teams at training camp throughout the entire season?
Honestly, it's one of the coolest things that we do. Like today, we had scrimmages. We had Tamiami Youth Football League out there, and they're scrimmaging after our practice. So you have these 300-pound men who are being paid to play football go out there, and they're pushing each other around, trying to compete, trying to make a football team. And you have these, you know, 8- and 9-year-old kids who step on that football field after them, and they are having a blast. They're running around, and they're having so much fun. It's one of the coolest things we do. And I get to talk to them. Today we talked about a guy by the name of Cliff Young, and talked about, you know, how do you overcome adversity and push through pain and you know, champion life. And they walk out of that room feeling like, hey, you know what, the Miami Dolphins invested in me. And I think that's the one thing that, you know, Mr. Garfinkel and Jason Jenkins allowed us to do. He allows our organization to be the steward of South Florida. We believe that, you know, we have a responsibility to give back, and we don't do it in a soft way. I believe we give to where it hurts. The $1.5 million that, you know, we partnered with Baptist on the other day, the money that we raise for DCC, the amount of the community visits that we have when we go out to schools and parks, and what we do in youth football program where we're empowering all these high schools and youth football leagues. I would challenge any professional sports team in the world to look at what we do, and I believe that we would be the standard, because, you know, it comes from a place of truth. And I truly believe our leadership. I mean, it's an honor to go to work every day, because our leadership believes in what they do, and they don't do it lightly. It's never should we do it? It's, hey, how we're going to do it and when we're going to do it. And it's just a great place to work.
Tuan Russell, we love talking to you, man, and we appreciate all the hard work that you do in the community. And obviously, as we get further into football season, we will talk to you even more. Thank you, Tuan.
Thank you very much. And if you guys are on the scrimmage, if you have any free time, you want to come in there and ask a couple questions to the kids, you can drop in for 5 minutes and talk to the kids at the podium. They'll love it.
I think Crowder's going to be there on Saturday, aren't you?
I'm coming out there. I don't know what time it is, man. I'll hit you up, but I'll be out there. I'll ask him.
We're out there all day. We're there from 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night.
Okay. I can make it out there, bro.
That about hits your window there. you neutered any argument he might have for not coming, Tuan.
So what time again?
We'll see you, Tuan.
All right, guys. Take care.
Tuan Russell. He had mentioned Tom Garfinkel a couple of times during our little chat there. Tom Garfinkel, who's the president and CEO of the Miami Dolphins and Hard Rock Stadium, joined us today at 3 o'clock. And the response from Dolphins fans is always through the roof because he's really interesting. And I wanted to replay it here in the 5 o'clock hour so people in their cars who are Dolphins fans can hear about all the different stadium changes that they've made. And we even talk with him about Stephen Ross's $75 million apartment because I didn't know if he'd ever been there. And he said, yeah, he stayed there. So we get some inside info on that. It's a fascinating interview. Tom Garfinkel is always a great interview. And to have this much, you know, time to talk with the president and CEO of the Miami Dolphins as the season is starting is always a real treat. So we're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back. We're going to replay this interview that we did earlier in today's show. Tom Garfinkel, president and CEO of the Miami Dolphins and Hard Rock Stadium. He will be on with us next. I don't know if he's playing this song for me, you, or Tom Garfinkel.
Gotta play it for Tom.
Bringing sexy Tom, back.
Tom's sexy dude now.
He's got a swagger. When Tom Garfinkel's walking around Hard Rock Stadium, he's got that swagger.
As he floats. He doesn't even step. He just floats around.
Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Tom Garfinkel is the president and CEO of the Miami Dolphins and Hard Rock Stadium. He was supposed to be on with us on Friday. And what'd we tell you on Friday? He's much more important than we are.
Yes.
Dude's got a lot going on.
I got stuff to do.
But here he is. So he's our friend and a friend of the program. Hello, Tom.
What's up, guys? That's not what happened. I apologize. We had a miscommunication here. It's not that I'm more important.
You are allowed to be more important.
I'm sitting in my office. I could have easily called in. I didn't know there was a miscommunication here.
You do not have to be humble around us. You are allowed to be more important. You are more important. There's no question.
No, I don't think that's true.
All right. Well, we both vote that you're...
I don't think that's true. I do have a little bit of swag, but I don't think it's true that I'm more important.
Not a little bit of swag.
But you do look better than me and Hawk, though.
Oh, no question.
I don't know about that either, but, you know.
All right, well, here we go. So training camp, that got underway last week. There's another camp today. First preseason game is going to be here before you know it. It's a week from Thursday. So just as a general overview, how does everything feel right now, and how's things looking for a week from Thursday?
Everything feels good. In fact, I was just out in the stadium walking around. The grass is on the field. The place is getting all cleaned up. You know, I feel like this offseason was never going to end. We had a very, very productive, a very busy offseason with the Miami Open Tennis Tournament and all kinds of other things going on. So it was definitely busy here at the stadium. You know, we've got FC Barcelona and Messi coming here on Wednesday of next week. There's still tickets available for that if you want to come see Messi and Suarez. So a lot going on here, but the place is ready to go. I'm excited for football season. Was out of practice this morning, and really can't wait to get started. This is one of my favorite times of the year.
Yeah, Tom, and I want to get into all the business stuff, the charity stuff, the philanthropy stuff that you're doing. But with the coaching change, I got to ask you, does the coaching staff change? How does that affect the business side of the Miami Dolphins?
Well, it affects it from the standpoint that, you know, to give you an example, you know, we had all of our employees, all the stadium employees out at the practice this morning. And, you know, the reason Coach moved his media time up 15 minutes was so he could come over and address the staff. I've never seen that happen before. He did that on his own. And then he stood in front of the staff. You know, we stood there together. I introduced him, and he just said, listen, you know, we're all in this together. We're one organization. This isn't a business side and a football side. And I think that's, you know, I think that's important. You know, we've got shared values and standards across the whole organization now. We've got a lot of people working together. We got a lot of great communication, a lot of trust, and a lot of people who believe in the same things and have the same standards moving forward of what we're trying to accomplish. And I'm excited about the future here.
Tom Garfinkel, he is the president and CEO of the Miami Dolphins and Hard Rock Stadium. Now, how about ticket sales for the upcoming season? Because I saw you quoted somewhere saying that they're actually very good, because there's been a lot of talk, including this show, that, you know, people just writing off this coming season when it comes to on-the-field player, the performance of the team. So ticket sales, has that affected that?
No, ticket sales have been fine. They've been consistent with the last couple of years. We still expect to sell out all the games, all the regular season games, I should say. And as we have the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. But I think it's a consequence of a number of things. First and foremost, we've just got a very passionate, loyal fan base. And they're, you know, we're very lucky to have great fans who love this team and who support this team. And so it starts there. I think, you know, we've got a great ticket sales and service team. We work really hard to provide a great experience here, you know, at the stadium. Every year we try to improve on things, whether it's bathrooms or concessions or parking. And this year we've got new pedestrian bridges and tunnels coming in to make it easier to get in and out of the stadium because the people usually hold up the cars and now they won't. So we're constantly trying to tweak on that, improve that. And, you know, obviously the product on the field is the best part of the experience is winning, but, you know, the whole organization is working hard on that too. I know Chris Greer is doing a great job and Brandon Shore and certainly Brian and his staff in terms of, you know, the standard they're setting and the way that they're approaching things and excited about the future here.
And, Tom, how do you answer, like Hawk just kind of hit on, how do you answer the people that do question the expectations or they bring up the word tanking? How do you answer those tanking or season expectation questions?
Yeah, I don't know where this whole notion of tanking came from. I mean, it's certainly never been, you know, discussed, you know, here. I mean, you know, you've heard Brian address it directly, so I'll let his words speak for themselves as a head coach. You know, we're trying to go out and win every football game, so there's no question about that. I think there's a difference between, you know, being very short-term focused on this week and being focused on trying to build something that's going to be a championship standard for the long term. And so, you know, I think that that doesn't mean you're tanking. That means you're still trying to go out and win. It just means you're going to balance prioritizing decision-making for the short term and the long term and really try to build it the right way and build something that's sustainable. And that takes time. There's no shortcuts in life. There's no get-rich-quick schemes. There's no, you know, there's no overnight successes that are, you know, every overnight success I've ever known took years to happen. Just people didn't see the years it took. So I don't, you know, in terms of, I know the expectation in that building is to go out and try to win every football game. I know that's the expectation of those coaches and those players and everybody in this organization. And so that'll be the effort that's put forward, and we'll see what happens. I'm excited about, again, the standard that the coaching staff is setting, the work that the players are putting in, and it should be an interesting season for sure.
Tom Garfinkel, president and CEO of the Miami Dolphins. Let's get to the very important stuff for people that are coming to the game a week from Thursday or maybe the first regular season game, which is against Baltimore. I'm always fascinated with stadium food. I believe Hard Rock Stadium has the best offerings of any of the local stadiums in South Florida. I think we talked about that last Friday.
I got to tell you, I appreciate the beer garden, Tom. Thank you so much.
So what is there anything new, anything we need to know about for food offerings?
Well, we're still working on some of those, so I don't have any big announcements to make in terms of the food. We've worked hard on that the last couple of years to improve it. I think you saw, you know, at the Miami Open, we brought in some new food items and things, too. So we'll have some tweaks and some changes that we'll announce here soon that aren't quite finalized yet. But, you know, I think we're always trying to make that better. You know, again, we'll have some new seating products, some new cabana suites up on the 300 level in the corners, some new seats sort of on the field that are some new like field suites that are new products, some new things we're doing. A lot of the things that we've done this off season has actually been millions of dollars actually of investment in, you know, things that you might not notice right away unless you look. New elevators, okay? So, you know, it's things that didn't happen in the renovation that we're still kind of tweaking on, fixing, improving. New doors on the suite level that go from the suite level out to the seats, okay, that were old and then are now will be brand new. Like things like that that maybe aren't as glamorous or as exciting, but just continue to kind of upgrade and make it feel and look and feel more like a new stadium.
What are those cabanas like on the 300 level and on the field? What's that? That sounds fun.
Yeah, they're going to be fantastic. I think if you come on there's a scrimmage on Saturday, you can come pick you up there and you can check them out. There you'll see them from the field. There's sort of temporary suites up there on that level and cabana suites we call them.
Yeah, is that going to be available for Hurricanes games as well?
Should be, yeah. Yeah, they'll be up there.
All right.
Oh, they'll be up there. For
I might need some little blinds around my cabana.
Right, can you close off the cabana?
I get going now.
Right.
I don't know about that, you know. We could provide bottle service, but it'll be open for everyone to see, so you got to behave yourself up there.
I got you, Tom. But, hey, man, I got to bring it up. 1.5.
Don't bring Romberg up there. We'll have a problem.
No, yeah. He causes trouble.
Things will go south quickly.
Tom, $1.5 million to Baptist Health South Florida. Everybody saw it in the news. That's just what the Dolphins give back to the community. I talk about it all the time. The alumni base gets involved a lot. But how was that decision decided to give $1.5 million to Baptist Health South Florida? And can you explain why?
Well, I'll start with the why. I think, you know, we're really focused on a number of initiatives in the community. I think, you know, fighting cancer, education through the Netmore Scholarship Fund. And one of the things we're, you know, as you know, football unites, bringing people together in the community and, and getting people to have conversations. One of the things we're focused on is youth football. I think football, you know, if you think about it, there's roughly a million kids playing high school football in this country. There's probably 300,000 or so seniors. 300 of those 300,000 will go on and play in the NFL. The other 299,700 people, you know, young men that play high school football as seniors, will go on and do other things in life. And for me, you know, not having your talent, Channing, to go and play in the NFL, but playing high school football, you know, has as much to do with who I am as a man besides probably anything besides my parents. So, you know, it's a sport we want to support. It's our sport. We love it, and we love the game of football. I think it's important to our society. I think it develops young men. You're talking about character development, work ethic, and mental and physical toughness, competitiveness, teamwork, leadership, all the things it teaches you that these young men that play high school football go on and become firemen and teachers and business people and, you know, all kinds of productive leaders in our society. And so, you know, we want to support the game of football as much as we can. Baptist Health South Florida does, and we want to keep the game as safe as we can. And Baptist Health South Florida does a lot with youth football, with high schools in this community, doing EKG testing and providing medical services and training services to a lot of these schools. And so we wanted to support that effort through this donation and partnership with them. We've now, you know, given free equipment with Baptist Health South Florida, new equipment to 15 schools. Since 2016, our Junior Dolphins programs impacted almost 4,000 high school and youth participants, boys and girls of all ages, over 2,000 coaches. And, you know, we'll have hosted by the end of this training camp, since 2016, we'll have hosted now 95 high school teams at training camp. So with a goal of hosting every single high school in Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties, we'll have accomplished that hopefully in the next 2 years. To bring them out, to get them to experience, you know, the players, the team, the game of football, and get them, you know, active and acclimated.
Yeah, Channing and I have said it a million times. I don't think that there's a franchise, certainly locally and maybe not nationally, that's as community involved as the Miami Dolphins are. We had Nat Moore on a couple weeks ago when you guys gifted everything to Edison, who lost their equipment in a fire. Like, Miami Dolphins step up. Like, you can separate the football part from the community involvement part. The community involvement part has just been, I mean, it's leaps and bounds ahead of, I would guess, most football franchises.
But you're asking Tom to beat his own chest, and he doesn't do that. But I'll beat his chest for him. That has a lot to do with Tom Garfinkel.
Now, let's talk a little bit, though, about something that that might affect, again, fans coming to games and practices and whatnot, because the fan support for training camp has been great. What's the timeline for the Dolphins' move for the training camp facilities to the Hard Rock Stadium site? Because we know that's in the offing, right?
Yeah. No, I'll address that. I just want to say one more thing about the community. I will beat Jason Jenkins' chest because, Jason, you know, I appreciate you saying that, Channing. And you know, I certainly have, you know, tried to provide some leadership and direction and so far as, like, what the goals are and what the vision is for what we want to accomplish. But Jason and his team are just out there. I think he must have three clones or something because he's at so many community events doing so many things. And I really just want to recognize him.
I'll piggyback on that for a second because I've said this on the air before. If fans who, you know, call in and complain, and Kenny Stills kneels for the anthem, and they say, what's going on with the Dolphins? I say, follow Jason Jenkins on Instagram and Twitter, and you will see just how active everyone from the Dolphins, Jason especially, but everyone from the Dolphins on their days off are in the community, because it's staggering. If you don't pay attention to it, you'll never know. And I say the best way to pay attention to it is Jason Jenkins' Instagram or Twitter account, because it is nonstop community
involvement. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, he's through Football Unites, we've engaged with over 64 partners in the South Florida community. We've reached over 18,000 people, and the programs are ride shares, ride alongs with police officers, police and youth conferences, the 5,000 role models, the Trayvon Martin Foundation, but working with law enforcement and the military as well, trying to bring people together to have conversations. You mentioned Kenny. A lot of people don't know. I mean, this is a guy who's out in the community every Tuesday on his day off during the season, and very, very often in the off season. I don't think he's ever said no to a request that we've made. But this is a guy that's out meeting with the police. He's not, you know, picking a side, so to speak. He's out there just talking to people, trying to bring them together. So I just think, you know, that needs to be said. But
well, because people do that all the all the time with Kenny. They're like, well, why doesn't he do anything? And I'm like, if you paid attention to Dolphin social media, this dude does more than anyone could ever imagine for bridging the gap between, you know, if there are sides, which I don't think there are, but he's always out there, always active in the community, and like you say, a ton with law enforcement.
Yeah, he walks the walk. I mean, what we're trying to do as an organization is just bring people together. The country's become, unfortunately, more polarized, and I think people are kind of picking sides. They self-select on social media who they want to follow, and they've stopped listening to other people. And I think the more we can just, what we're trying to do is just bring people together. You know, we're working with the LGBTQ community. We're working with, you know, different religious communities. We're working with law enforcement. We're working with young African-American males. We're working with, you know, everybody we can to just kind of get people together and have conversations and bring people together and seek, you know, civility, seek understanding, have conversations, and try to get people to understand the other person's point of view, and that's really what Football Unites is all about.
Yeah, so I think it's very laudable. All right, let's get away from the serious stuff, because now training camp facilities and whatnot. When does that move to Hard Rock?
So the we've started sort of doing some of the excavation groundwork. There'll be an announcement probably next month. We'll have an official groundbreaking. The move will take place in early 2021. So probably February, March timeframe of 2021, we will move. So the first training camp will take place here 2 years from now.
Do you have any say in who the Super Bowl halftime performer will be?
No, the NFL does that.
All right, you do not get a vote.
I do not get a vote. Okay. I do not get the suggestion.
Because I was going to suggest
I could suggest somebody, but you know, it's about no different than anybody else suggesting.
Because I was going to suggest a bunch of recognizable South Florida performers singing "Baby Shark."
Well, I'll tell you, I think the NFL does a great job with the Super Bowl. So having been to probably the last seven in a row, they're quite spectacular events to attend. And so I'm looking forward to having it here. The Super Bowl host committee here, led by Rodney Barreto, is doing a great job. You know, this will be the 11th one in South Florida, the most of any city, anywhere. Rodney and his team have been doing this a long time, but we've got this new, you know, $550 million stadium renovation, and now with the tennis plaza, even more than that, and the training facility and all these things coming. So I think it's going to be exciting. It's going to be great for South Florida, and the most important Super Bowl will be the one we play in and win, but, excited to have it here in South Florida. For sure.
And Tom, businesses, the residents, everybody in South Florida gets excited to have a Super Bowl. Are you and your staff the only people that are stressed out by having a Super Bowl? Like, doesn't it put way more work on you than not having a Super Bowl?
It's definitely more work than not having one, that's for sure. The NFL kind of takes over the stadium, so we work very closely with them on a lot of things. But, you know, they really, it'll be our guest services and concessions and, you know, in-game entertainment folks and all that stuff. But the NFL comes in and really, you know, we're just kind of, what do you need us to do? And then they kind of take over. They set the security perimeter. They set all the security parameters. They do all the halftime show. They do all the entertainment. They control control the credentialing. They control, you know, they really control everything. So, but there's a lot of activity around the Super Bowl that's not just the game. It's obviously a week-long set of activities that'll be throughout, you know, from Bayfront Park to South Beach to Fort Lauderdale to, you know, downtown Miami-Dade. So it's exciting. It's going to be great for South Florida. We're excited to have it here.
Tom Garfinkel is the president and CEO of the Miami Dolphins and Hard Rock Stadium. I have to ask this. I don't want you to give away any confidences, but we saw Stephen Ross has listed his New York City apartment for $75 million. Have you been inside it?
Yes, several times.
You've been there. Oh, my goodness. I mean, yeah. What can you tell us? It's got to look like the house in Silver Spoons.
I didn't watch Silver Spoons.
Dating myself on that one.
That's a deep reference.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. I'm old enough to know what you're talking about. it's beautiful. I mean, it's...
I've never been there. I could have told you it's beautiful. It's listed for $75 million. Give us like one feature.
Do you have to walk around? Do you get a golf cart? Like, is there something that's crazy?
Well, it occupies the floor of the building, so you can walk around the exterior, you know, walk around the perimeter and sort of from the windows see any view of the city in any direction because of where it is. You know, Steve built that building, Time Warner Center, those two buildings, I should say, that whole development. And it back then did something that no one thought could be done and achieved great success doing it. And now Hudson Yards, for anybody that visits New York City, to go there and see the Thomas Heatherwick art piece, the vessel it's called, which is now a new iconic sort of feature of New York City. If you haven't seen it, just Google it and look at it. I think it's the most Instagram thing there is right now in the past couple months. But Hudson Yards is almost too much to believe, the scale of it, the amount of commercial, residential, retail space that's there. It's changed the skyline of a city. It's really remarkable.
When you stay in a $75 million apartment, like, can you just, you know, waltz into the kitchen, open up the fridge and grab, an Uncrustable? Or, like, is there a whole process? Because it seems like, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems like it would be different.
He's not eating Uncrustables.
Well, it's not the $75 million. It's not the apartment that dictates that. It's the person who's hosting you there. And I can tell you that Steve Ross is as low-key, down-to-earth, and hospitable a host as you could have. So, you know... He makes, you know, I've never stayed at someone else's house and felt more comfortable to walk in and just grab a water or do whatever I need to. So he's a very low key, down to earth. He's just a great guy. He's a guy's guy. Someone you like spending time with. Someone who, you know, I mean, I laugh a lot when I'm with him. You know, and that's a good criteria of somebody you want to spend time with is somebody who makes you laugh a lot, who makes you feel welcome, makes you feel comfortable, and he certainly does that.
And Tom, last question out of me, because this is something we talked about a couple weeks ago. Actually, when we found out about Stephen Ross selling his condo, you're around Stephen Ross a lot. Does he eat, you know, Outback? Does he eat Wendy's? Does he eat McDonald's? Because if I was worth billions, bro, I would eat mermaid hamstring every day.
And
I say
you never lose your taste for an awesome blossom.
Mermaid hamstring. I've never heard that.
Yeah, and never will again. But you never lose your taste for an awesome blossom. It doesn't matter how much money you have.
He is a pretty healthy eater. I mean, he's pretty, he enjoys, you know, we had dinner the other night, actually. I was in New York, and at the end of the dinner, he kind of looked at me like he wasn't quite done. And he had something healthy. I don't remember what it was. He had like a salad and a small piece of fish or something. He was being healthy, and he looked at me like, "You gonna get dessert?" like what? You want some?
But like while you were staying at his apartment, you would never say to him, "Hey, let's walk down the street, go get a slice at Sbarro."
Probably not Sbarro, but you know,
Ray's Original
Pizza. You know, yeah. I mean, you know, he's not. Billy, he's very down to earth. He's not eating, you know, caviar, that kind of. Yeah, you know, he's a guy's guy. He's gonna go have a pizza with you. You know,
do you have to bring your own?
It has to be pretty healthy. I mean, I can tell you, he's active. He works out every day. You know, he's got a lot of energy, and he's as sharp as you could be mentally, and stays in shape. And he's not a health nut, but he watches what he eats to, you know, try to keep his energy up and his weight down.
Do you have to bring your own toiletries when you're staying there, or do you treat it like a five-star hotel? Like, do they have monogram?
Well, usually what happens is I got a hotel. He's like, where are you staying? And I tell him, don't stay there. Just stay with me, okay, so.
Yeah, you would never turn that
in a hotel.
But. Wow, yeah. What a place.
Hey,
man.
When I get my $75 million condo, both you guys are invited to
Much
come
appreciated.
Over.
No Will problem. I need to bring my own toiletries?
Yeah, I'm real cheap. I spent all my money on the condo.
Tom Garfinkel, president and CEO of the Miami Dolphins. So people coming out to the preseason game, say, a week from Thursday, are the walkways and whatnot, the above ground and underground walkways, are those functioning yet?
No, in fact, they'll be done for the season opener against the Ravens on September 8th, but they're not done yet. But they won't be, when people come out to the preseason games, they won't be encumbered by them. It's kind of like a construction site, but they're not in anybody's way. But they will not be completed, unfortunately, until the season opener.
All right, but for the regular season, that'll make getting in and out of that stadium that much easier, right?
Oh, it is, yeah, very much so, especially getting out. I think when people come into games, it's kind of spread out over a few hours, right? Especially on Sunday and a Thursday night, people tend to come kind of more at the same time. But on a Sunday, it's kind of more spread out. So getting in is usually not a problem for people. But if everybody leaves at the same time getting out, you've got people crossing the inner ring road and you've got people crossing over to get to the two outer lots by the turnpike and then across Dan Marino Boulevard. And so, the police have to stop all the cars and let all the people cross. And unless people want to play Frogger and try not to get hit, so which isn't safe. So, to have bridges and tunnels means that pedestrians can just flow out freely. The cars can keep flowing and don't have to be stopped. And when the cars flow out without having to be stopped, you're not sitting in the parking lot waiting to get out. You're just driving out. And so it'll be I expect it to be a very big change.
Tom Garfinkel, president and CEO of the Miami Dolphins, Hard Rock Stadium. You are always a pleasure to talk to. We appreciate it, and we're looking forward to being out there for some broadcasts again and obviously people listening to the games here on this very radio station. So thank you, Tom.
Thanks, guys. Anytime. Appreciate it.
Take always care. Enjoy talking with him. He's got always important stuff to do, and yeah. Then I make it silly at the end. But that is the stuff. Like, would you bring toiletries? If Stephen Ross said to you, hey, come stay at my apartment, it was a $75 million apartment, like, you'd kind of feel like there's going to be a basket of goods.
Nope.
You'd bring your own stuff.
Got to be prepared for life, man. Got to bring your items. I always bring my items. I do. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Everybody loves hearing from Tom Garfinkel, as do we. It's a strong Dolphins hour. Tom Garfinkel and Tuan Russell. Somebody texts in, so was that a yes or no on the Uncrustables? Hey, kind of deferred the answer there. Don't know.
No Uncrustables.
And then you always get the couple people that text in, who cares? I want to see them win. I get it. And Tom Garfinkel will tell you that himself. Like, it's all about winning. Ultimately, it's all about winning. But
do people think if we don't give this $1.5 million to Baptist Health, we'll win more games?
Right.
Like, I don't understand that person's
like
psyche.
Two separate entities when it comes to the Dolphins. And
help the kids or win? Is it either or thing?
I want, you know what? If it was an either or thing, like if you gave Dolphins fans the choice, I wonder what the answer would be.
I know the answer, but I don't want to tell you. Because it would question
would
humanity. Yes.
Yeah, it would disappoint both of us. 5 o'clock hour on Hockman and Crowder, presented by our friends at the Funky Buddha Brewery. It's the Funky Buddha Happy Hour. And it has been, if you're a Dolphins fan, I believe, a pretty happy hour. And that's thanks to Funky Buddha. So thank you to them. Been a weird show. I feel like, sometimes some shows you feel like you've run a marathon. I feel like, do you even remember what we talked about at 2 o'clock?
Nope.
It was Ryan Fitzpatrick getting the nod from Brian Flores, hey, he's outperforming Josh Rosen right now. But that seems like a week and a half ago.
It really does.
Like,
it seems like it's 3 o'clock to me.
I don't know how everything is, I don't know what happened today, but we have, a lot of it is Solana. Solana had one of the most up and down shows that you'll ever hear from a producer.
What were the ups?
He had the Michael Irvin remix that he made.
Okay, you're
that
right.
Was there was an up. You want to play that because you had a lot of downs, but he did have some ups. We had Michael Irvin. If you were listening at this time yesterday, I'm not going to replay it for you. But if you were listening at this time yesterday, you heard Michael Irvin co-hosting First Take on ESPN, and he and Stephen A. Smith were going back and forth, and we loved it. We were listening to it like exactly at this time yesterday, and we loved it. And Solana took the part that I really loved, where it's Michael Irvin talking about someone having heart all the way down to their toe.
Like, he has heart down in his toe.
He has heart down in his toe. Solana went into the lab, remixed it into kind of like a trap mix version of it. And if you listen closely, I believe Michael Irvin sounds like Busta Rhymes in half this remix here. So go ahead, play what I would say is your highlight of today's performance, Solana.
The Fool on the Beat.
Except for that.
I turned around and said, my producer, if I was drafted, I'd draft him right now. That's who I want. That's the kind of dude he is. He has heart down in his toes. He had heart down in his toes.
I love this.
That's what I'm talking about. I told you I'm a blesser. Economic to take, contaminate this room with some knowledge.
That is Busta Rhymes.
Economic to take. Don't you get? He had heart down in his toes. He had heart down in his toes. He had heart down in his toes. Don't you get?
Love it. I think it's a banger, man. I think it is a total banger.
To help y'all out a little bit, I'm sorry, Gators out there. Y'all need to get him and give you a pregame speech next month.
Michael Irvin?
Yeah. I know he gives hella fire pregame speeches with that voice.
But we all know that his pregame speeches haven't done much over the last decade or so. Like, he's been giving them. They don't often translate to wins.
But make a song out of it.
Tell you what, though. Like, if he came in there before that Florida game on August 24th, told them, Hurricanes, you've got heart down in your toes.
Tell them they need to put it in their chest.
78-0.
Because the Gators go run through their sternum.
78-0. You got to post that so we can get it to Michael Irvin. Are you going to post that, Solana?
I will.
You're going to post that so people can download that and have it as a fire track on their playlist?
Fire track.
You said fire.
Fire track.
Buster. Trap music.
Look at me.
All in about 2 minutes.
What is happening?
Somebody just said hockey strength gangster.
I don't know what's going on with me. So I've got this thing now in my car, Apple Play. So if you subscribe to Apple Music, you can listen to whatever you want. You talk about tracks and all this stuff. So I was experimenting with it on the ride home yesterday. And because, you know, you don't have to have it on your phone. Whatever's in the Apple Music library, just play right over your car stereo if you subscribe to Apple Music. Hmm. So yesterday, driving home, you get such a kick out of this. I go, boop, play Eddie Murphy, Boogie in Your Butt. It's on my radio.
Put a can in your butt.
Put a little tiny man in your butt. And then I go, play Bill Cosby himself. Now, it's one of my favorite comedy cassettes of all time. When I was growing up, I listened to himself. I watched the special on HBO. Boom. It's playing it. Just playing it in my car. It's the coolest damn thing. I talk about a trap remix or whatever, but yesterday driving home, I was listening to Eddie Murphy, Boogie in Your Butt, and Bill Cosby himself. So
as soon as you have access to every audio vault in the world.
Isn't that weird?
You go Boogie in Your Butt.
Not only Boogie in Your Butt from Eddie Murphy and Bill Cosby himself, I also listen to Steve Martin, King Tut. There's something wrong with me. There's something very, very wrong with me.
Any song ever made, Boogie in Your Butt. Gotta go with Boogie.
Because I wanted to get something that you don't normally, like, you ask a DJ that at a party, he's not going to have it.
No.
I have it in my car.
Your go-to, your off the hip was really funny.
Boogie in your butt, King Tut, and Bill Cosby himself.
That's crazy.
And I think tonight I might listen to Steve Martin, The Cruel Shoes.
The Cruel Shoes.
The Cruel Shoes. And Rodney Dangerfield, rapping Rodney. All right. Solanas Fi remix of Michael Irvin's He's Got Heart Down in His Toes will be available at WQAM.com under the On Demand tab, as will our interview with Tom Garfinkel and Twan Russell. And that's going to do it for us. Larry Bluestein coming up next. Is it blue?
Blue.
Blue on your radio. Larry Bluestein, one of the best. He is coming up next at 6 o'clock. That is going to do it for us. We will speak with you mañana.
You got to at least bring a toothbrush.
He had heart down in his toes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.